This meeting is now being recorded.
Sometimes it's hard to distinguish when we're meditating and something comes to us between what is a machination of the mind and what is truly a spiritual enlightenment. For instance, when we see ourselves inside, or we will see things that are of a very mundane level that we're preoccupied with every day, and I will sit in meditation. Sometimes these things I don't seem to have any control over them. I don't want to.
Your aggression is mixed up with so many things.
Yes.
But you speak up in regulation, then you speak up seeing your own palm. What particularly you want?
I want to know how to distinguish, or are we to distinguish when these forms come to us, or just
Well, the main thing, whatever form comes within, repeat the five names which are child, any negative, that should go away. Sometimes negative power affects you, the wrong things. Then be the five names. For that purpose, you have been given a safeguard against all these.
Sometimes in meditation you have this terrific vibration which you can't seem to control, and you said not to think of the body.
Yes.
But sometimes it's so very strong that I have to stop meditating. I get so nervous, and I feel as if I was being electrocuted or something. What can I do to stop that?
You see, then you do it in the right way. You see, you do it in the right way and don't think of your body. There's no trouble. If anything like that, you leave it out. That's right.
It's so powerful that I can't help but think of the body. I don't want to. But
not every day like that.
No, but at times. And then it rises to my throat and I feel as if I was choking.
That is due to wrong way of doing the practice. Prana is involved.
But I don't do any yoga techniques anymore.
Well, choking of throat cannot come unless prana is involved. Breathing is involved. First it goes slowly, at the interval, then it just chokes, you see. That is the wrong way of doing it.
But I don't do any except since I was initiated by you, but
these are involved. You don't do it purposely. While doing it, sometimes breathing is involved, unknowingly involved, and that is the choking arises. If it is done in the right way.
But I'll tell you something strange. I've had that experience mostly when I've meditated when you have been there. Now in Vancouver, in the morning meditation.
Yes.
I sat right next to you, and it was so terrific. I got that power so much that it was terrible. It was wonderful, but it was almost terrifying. And it happened more when you're around.
It means when I'm around the radiation, you see. While in a hurry, you see that withdrawn, soul is withdrawn, but your thought is not altogether, free of the body, consciousness. That is why that breathing is involved in choking. And sometimes out of emotions too, emotions sometimes bring on choking. Two reasons, no other reason. Well, look, let us say you're in a worldly way. You're going to meet a friend whom you love. Maybe father, mother, brother, anybody. And he wishes to come and out. And when you go to your friend, you take so many children and other things like that. You're going to meet him. There's no time for you to speak to him. And he will also not be able to devote his whole time with you. This is only you are thinking, now you have to go to God. God is all alone, is it not? You have no father, no mother, no brother. So naturally he wants everybody to come to him all alone. That nobody, he doesn't want anything to take with you. No worldly things, not even your body, not even your intellect. He says, you come alone. Then these people tell us, and for whatever little time you devote, that will bear forth full fruit. When we are sitting, you see, we are not to think of the outside things. Not think of the body, not think of the breathing, not even think of the thinking. We should be physically still and intellectually still too. You do it in the right way, then no problem.
But if you're intellectually still, you're repeating the five.
Don't become automatic. When you think meaning thereof, your intellect works. If you don't think of the meaning, few days after you become automatic. The charging helps. You are told not to think of the meanings, although the meanings are given to you. You are not to visualize, you are not to think of the meaning. Automatically to go on charging us. Thinking and intellect will come and think, well, this word means this. This plane has such and such light, such and that is it. So don't simply look sweetly. Be fully absorbed. It is a question of the intellect. I mean, seeing the soul. Attention, you might say. Attention is the outward expression of the soul. These are the rays of the sun and even enlighten the whole world. See, these rays of the attention. Attention are the rays of the soul. You see? That enlighten the whole body. If those rays are withdrawn, the body will be dark. When sun sets, all rays are withdrawn, there is darkness. Similarly, the body will be darkened. You have no thought of the body, only it is your attention that gives you feeling of the body. So if you do it rightly, there is no trouble. Errors do creep in, you see. Automatically, generally. Then that trouble arises.
Master, may I ask a question?
Yes, please.
After you are drawn into the radiant form of the Master from within, and you want to go higher, does the radiant form of the Master dissolve into the Word or the Man?
Does
the radiant form of the Master continue to remain in higher regions?
In the lower planes, it continues, but absorption comes at every plane. When you devote all attention into the form of the Master, you become sometimes absorbed. But that continues for the same basis. Absorption is better. It does become at light. You are light, you become one, you forget. But you are conscious of the same. That does come at every step. ultimate joy. It becomes one, you see, there's no form. When you absorb into Satnam, then Satnam meets you. Final absorption comes there. Otherwise, that form continues to work. The region form was different things. I will go. Physically, I have to go run errand. You are also not at home all the day long. Is it? Now you are not at your home. Physically, you are not at home. Is it? But your thought is there, isn't it? So I'll come when God visits. I know this.
Master, what plane are you in when you see the golden light?
That is just the beginning. But in that golden light, the form of the Master appears. That is not the lowest.
That is not the lowest?
Form appears in golden light generally.
That's the third plane or the fourth plane?
Well, it is just beginning with a master form that appears only just when you rise above Tirukuti.
Okay.
And even before that, does manifest to show that it is with you. Sometimes you sit in a totally form, sometimes generally it is when you cross the big star and the moon, then the form appears. But even that appears before manifest to give consolation to you. Initiate the time with you, that power is with you.
Master, it would seem that before one initiates, the very first thing one should do is begin to be honest with himself.
Listen louder, please.
Yes, before one is initiated, one begins with trying to be honest with itself.
Yes.
And although you may feel that so far as the rules are concerned, a diet or something, this would be no problem.
Yes.
But within yourself, you know still that you do have doubts. Would you welcome into initiation one who is quite willing to admit that there is doubt, but wants to try?
Doubt? What sort of doubt? Over the theory? When intellectually you are satisfied that these are the teachings of all masters, you see, you take it up as an experimental measure. Then if you get something, then naturally you must be convinced. Man cannot be convinced unless he sees things for his own self and he testifies himself.
Then if you are not certain that you are prepared and that you have answered your question.
I tell you. The man who is, in whose heart this question of the mystery of life has entered, he is with. That's God's grace. This question has arisen. That day is the greatest in the man's life. On which day this question of the mystery of life enters one's heart. That cannot be stamped out. Unless it is solved. The very question that it arises, that shows God wants to give you. Your hunger for that. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. So as question remains about the ethical life all around, In the old days, you see, there was the rule, I would say now, the people came to the feet of the master, they kept them for longer times, and when they saw that they had dwelt fully, then they gave them the initiation. It is said one king of Para, you see, went to Kabir and lived with him for about 6 years. And he was very obedient and everything like that. The Loi, Mata Loi was serving with, was living in Kabir's house. He recommended Kabir that, hey, the king has, he has been here with us for 6 long years. He is very quiet, very obedient. Why don't you give me initiation? Then Kabir told him that he is not yet ready. And he told him, well, what is it? He is very quiet, very obedient, quite in every way. I mean, you know, how do you say he is not fit? He said, all right, when he now goes out of the house, just you hide yourself in a place where he cannot see you and throw all this refuse of the house over his head. And just hear what he says. No. And when she do like that, and so, had I been in my own country, I would have seen what this means, you see. So then, ask Kabir, what did you find? He says, he liked that. That King Chubu had not gone, still he said, oh, had I been there, I would have done this and that thing. So then another 5-6 years passed. And Kabir said, well, now he is ready. He said, well, I find no difference between the first and the now. And now do it when he passes out of the house. Just throw all this, what did you, washroom, you see, all filth over the then hear what he said. When he did so, he said, oh God, I'm worse than that. So it takes man made. Man making it difficult. Finding of God is not difficult. But now the times have changed. So much materialistic it is. Who is going to stay with the master for years? And just abide what he says and live at his house. And then change. No time to spare time and sit at the feet of the master. As you see, even they have got their own some difficulty in the meditation, oh, I have to go to the work. And then, oh, can't you take 1 or 2 hours sleep too? So the times have changed now in a way, those who have got the hunger for that, the thinking in their mind, they take them up from their custody. They take up the work of preparation, making him as well as give them all the things together. And prescribe for making maintenance of diaries for self-introspection from day to day. And they give them the experience then and there. So they, when they come in contact with that higher light or sound principle, that will go from inner to help him. And by outer, weeding out by all imperfections from day to day. He then takes heed that the light which is within you is not dormant, is it? So this, the present times have changed. Those who are having some desire, they are put on the way. They are given some experience with the grace of God. To start with. Otherwise the people are not going to believe you go on doing and you will have a doctorate. Yes? Do it, go on, do it. How long will you continue? People have been coming to me who were initiated by somewhere. They have been putting in time 2, 3, 4 hours daily. With all that they had nothing, they left it. You get something to start with and you can develop it. So this present time is changed, you see. The work of making up is also started side by side along with the given being. These are the very first time. And when he sees the experience and experience himself, then I think he has something to stand on in it. No question of doubt. It also means that only how to live up to that. So those who are just enter the intellectual field, you see, they must understand the why and wherefore of things. Others they won't take up. For there they will require some evidence from the past masters. And also whether that appeals to their common sense. If do those things, I mean they are intellectually satisfied there, then they take up as an experimental result. Even then they are very skeptic. Possibly it may not be. But when they have something to start with, let them go. So maintenance of that is necessary to take it that the light, which is whatever is given in at the time of initiation, is not darkened. This is how the matter stands for the present day.
Question, but for instance, I just recently moved to Denver, as I told you, in Texas, and we don't have a group there, satsang. Ponce and I would like to start when we meditate in my little apartment, Pina's mother and I together. And does it do any harm if you go to another group that meditates? I mean, would there be any conflict of vibration or anything if we went and meditated with another group?
What group?
Well, for instance, Self-Realization. They have a group in Denver where they just meditate. And they have asked us to come for meditation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing naturally any of the techniques I gave them up several years ago when I was initiated by you. But I was wondering if there'd be any conflict of vibration or anything.
The pilot, did I told you not to go?
No, you didn't. I'm asking you.
if I want to go,
I don't want to.
No, the further thing, you see. If you go there, don't follow their way of meditation, but do your own.
Well, that's what I mean, that I can go and take my own
way. One thing. The other thing, when you men have the same way, sit together, there will be more radiation. You follow me? There's a radiation for the master too.
From Yogananda, you mean? Their mess. Would it affect me? I mean, would it...
No, I'm talking something.
Oh, excuse me.
When you go to somebody, don't change your mode of meditation.
Oh, my.
And if you just sit by those who are just doing the same meditation, there will be more radiation. I never stop you by going to any place.
I just know whether it would be a conflict of vibration if there was any conflict.
Don't you follow now what I said? If you think of Swami Yogananda there, then there will be conflict. Because Yogananda is not there. You see?
I follow the principle then, Master. Where two or more gather together in my name.
In my name.
That's right, in my name.
You've got to experience it. I don't mean in any way to reflect on Swami Yogananda. I don't mean that, you see. One is a living force, radiation, going on through the world. When you sit in the name, one or two men radiation is there. Those who have left the body, they have to work through the human bone, working on the human plane. That's the law. I never stop anybody going anywhere.
Well,
but that I did say that if where there is a group in it, you must attend.
Yes.
Because your benefit by religion.
Well, I had gone, but I was just wondering about it, so I thought more
than. No, the matter is clear. But I never stopped you from going there.
No.
Understand the principle, you see. do this feeding, I tell you what the old Egyptians used to do. They gave initiation, gave the way. They did not give the experience, I tell you. And they just put them on the way by intellectually, then told them for 2 years to remain quiet, not to talk to anybody. Go on with meditation for 2 long years. They were called mystics. And by putting 2 years regularly on the way, naturally Veda, sometimes flashes. When the inner ways opened, they were called apoptis. You know? Now the door is very open very first day. Door is open very first day, you see the light. Some experience. So best thing is when you are initiated, don't talk to anyone. Do your daily livelihood work. The rest you need not talk to anyone. Talk to your master. We talk to others. What is the loss there? You talk to others, you want to show your superiority to others, egoism there, you lose. So there's a friendship in the worldly way. You got a friendship with somebody, love with somebody, you won't let anybody, dare to let anybody know about it, is it not? Why this is love, your love with God, why should broadcast it? You want only for guidance, who can guide you. And it is the master who can guide you. You see? Do your... He does not say leave the work and don't. Just live in your arm, your livelihood. Bring up, nourish your children. Just keep up your body. And go on with it. Let the wild flower grow in darkness. We throw seeds anywhere. I am doing, oh, I see where, if I tell you, oh, I am in a very intoxicated state. Other than that, yes, why? And then I say, tell that in natural power. Well, their eyes on you, and you have not become yet perfect. What is it? He takes you as the ideal. You stand between him and the master. Where will you go? The other man who follows you takes you as the wrong ideal. He is first doomed, and you are powerless in return. This is very critical point, you see. When you are, this is just worldly way, when you engage to somebody, withdraw to somebody, but think of him all alone, you see, the God in him. Don't hate for anything. Don't have any hatred for anybody. Go on with it. You'll find it. Sometimes people go on with it. They begin to tell one another this is life, this is life. The result is their progress is lessened. And here too you find many. Those who say we had more progress before, now we have got less. What's the reason for that?
And the natural law comes in with a negative power protection.
Yes.
When you do
yes,
that.
Yes. You follow my point?
Yes, I understand, yes.
This is to be followed by everybody. When you are given a doubt, well, you go to the highest. That's what people say. Then it's all right. You got a little water with you, for instance. You begin to sprinkle. That's very good. In contact with the perennial source. Then thousands, millions will come. Then you become conscious co-worker that is not you doing, but God is doing. These are the little things I think stand in every man's way. Those who have a little experience, for instance, they sometimes see master within. They are too difficult to talk. Sometimes that negative power appears. They are misguided. Some things come true, others become wrong. Result is in the other soul, he is Sanjay. And the man who says, oh, he also feels, no better. I get letters sometimes by such like people. Oh, now the master within me will guide me. Well, I tell them already, the master within you, if he guides you, write to me, get it confirmed by writing by me. And the result is, those who follow them, they are just retarded, you see. I don't see why people are, after becoming a master, They may have got that ideal before them, but they have not come masters. When they become masters, let them say they are masters. Even then they won't say. Those who are masters, they don't say we are masters. They say it's God's power working. It's the Father in me doing. He never said, I'm doing. Son of man is differentiated from the God in man. And others who are just little, they assert, and this is one of the causes of the groups. Some follow this man, some follow that man. The result is the split. There's no problem.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the first 30 minutes of a talk titled Mind is a Thief in the Form of a Friend, recorded in Washington, D.C. on January 23, 1964. Our reader this morning is Jack Weinstein. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Today's reading is from the book The Night is a Jungle. It's from pages 318 to 330. The title of the talk is Protector and Protection. It's the second half of the talk that I started. I read the first half last time I read. Today I read the second half. These days, most teachers are just paid. But when I used to study as a child, they were people dedicated to humanity and children. If a child was promising, the teacher would wave aside the question of fees and call him to his own home for extra tuition. We often went to our teacher's home. He did not have any water laid out there, so we used to bring it in buckets and do other work around the house, purely out of love for him. He loved us and taught us with love. There are satsangis and near satsangis. By near satsangi, I mean one who has come in closer touch with the guru. This teaching is the same for all children, but those who become receptive come closer to the master. They get a special protection. Though his protection is extended to everyone, all are fed and eat the same bread, yet the child who is more hungry will receive more food. O Lord, we are your ignorant children. The Guru teaches us and makes us open up into awareness. Today you may do one thing, tomorrow something else. You are unstable and always wanting new things, from which you go on desiring other new things. The Master always gives permission for what you want and remains with you in all you do, but gradually continues turning you toward the truth, that your interest in it becomes more and more powerful. When he has your interest well established, he will make a new life for you and take you into a new world. Now tell me, is there anyone who would not like to have such a guru? When the world turns its back, the guru is standing beside you. Through desert and forest, over seas and mountains, in this world and the next, he is with you. In the other world, the Guru is called Guru Dev, the radiant face of the Master, which appears within the light. A man's face cannot appear inside, only the God power. When the Guru Dev comes, the disciple will know that he has become a true disciple. If you would all keep daily diaries and honestly note in them all happenings, you would see what a grand treasure you would accumulate. But we listen to the Master's advice and then forget it. We even forget the subject of the satsang after a few minutes. How can we expect success? Christ said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Satguru's words? Words are Satguru. The words of a master are the master himself, and those who respect his words will most certainly get salvation. Generally, we respect him only when we see him, and when not in his presence, we do what the mind tells us. But remember, he sees our every action. Awa Hazua used to say that when a man comes to the master, he sees him just like a clear glass bottle and knows whether it is pickle or preserve. But no one knows what goes on behind his bland expression. He is completely unfathomable and will not show what he sees in a person, but will try and wash him clean. Some think he knows nothing, but he gives them his protection always. Those children who are in a dangerous condition get extra care, though very often they think they have succeeded in hoodwinking the master. What foolishness this is! Glory, glory to the Guru, Satguru, the teacher, by whose various teachings we gained great wisdom. The Guru awakens us from our unconscious state, gives physical and intellectual food, that we may have good living and right understanding, and protects us in all phases of life. Our Guru is the Blessed One, who has bestowed all this wealth upon us. Whoever has such a master is blessed also. I want to emphasize that if after getting this priceless gift, no consideration is given to it, that is the greatest of all misfortunes. There are certain birds which, when migrating, fly many hundreds of miles, but their thoughts are with their children, for they have left their eggs behind. The master might be anywhere, but his thought and protection is constantly with his children, wherever they may be. The Satguru protects the disciples with his life. Breath for breath, he remembers you. Without the master's remembrance, love for him cannot be born in the disciple. He sends out rays of love, and the disciple experiences a strong pull toward his master. This is also a gift. Now the question arises, should one always be near to the Guru physically? To be always close to the physical presence of the master takes extremely good karmic background and only happens with great destiny. Should the followers leave their homes and cast aside their duties? A true guru will never recommend this. Why should he? If he was only on the physical level, then he might advise this. But he tells us that he has another form other than the physical and can travel thousands of miles from where his physical form remains. A true master stresses that it is not necessary to be always close to his physical form. There is no doubt that if one is receptive by being near him, one will be enriched with greater wealth. But it sometimes happens that those near him become critical of outer happenings around him, with the result that they do not gain anything. You can live far or near, but your face should be ever turned toward him. That is the point. Kabir said that even if the seven seas are between the disciple and his guru, the disciple's attention should be directed toward his master. The speed of attention is very fast. One can judge from the force of electricity. The pranas, or life current, have faster speed than electric current, and the attention is faster than pranas. With a radio set, one has to just tune it to a certain point, and one can hear the sound immediately. Even if the disciple does not set his attention on the master, the radiation goes on emitting, and the effect of this is the making of him. If he becomes receptive, then the master appears before him. There are disciples in various parts of the world, North America, South America, Africa, England, Germany, France, etc. And who is protecting them? It is not the physical form that travels around, but the higher power, the God power. You can call it the Guru power, and it is also called the Christ power too. This power is protecting the disciples, many of whom have seen clearly the form of the Master power in their daily lives. The power that works in the human poll is the guru, and if messages can be transmitted and received through radio, then why not become a human poll connected to the guru through the guru power? There should be no obstruction in the way, like worldly affairs, children, one's own physical form, or wandering thoughts. Another thing is, purity is very necessary in living and in being free from ill or impure thoughts. A radio will not work properly if it is jammed up with dirt and dust. We frequently hear accounts of how the Master has protected his children. At death, he appears before the child who in full consciousness happily states, "The Master has come." When a child learns to rise above the body consciousness at will, the Master is there to protect and guide him, talks to him, and takes him upward from stage to stage. If Gurudom is looked down upon today, it is purely through incompetency and material motives. They themselves are doomed, but the tragedy is, so are the thousands who follow them. However, there is always hope, and if any have a sincere longing for the truth, God will see that they are in torment to realize Him and make it possible for them to meet a true Master. How is it possible for the servants to be well fed if the Master is starving and naked? If at the time of initiation, the man you are following does not give you anything, it may be little or more, according to one's background, and open your inner eye, then it means that he is not competent. He should give you something, and that is the criterion of a true master. Even if he gives a little at the beginning, then there is hope for much more. And whatever he gives, protect it with your life. After you have got contact with the God into expression power, where will you go from there? To the formless and nameless, the source from where the expression is coming. The word religion is derived from the Latin religio through re and legati, which mean back and bind. So we have to bind back to the source or God. This is the actual meaning of the word, but we are satisfied with sticking a label on ourselves and performing customary rites and rituals, which are merely the elementary steps to prepare the ground for higher things. No matter what you do, your life will not bear fruit until you meet someone to give you rebirth and connect your soul back to the God power. Only recently I received the urgent news that a certain disciple was dangerously ill. I wrote and told the people to advise the patient to concentrate within. They wrote back and said that my instructions had been conveyed to the patient by telephone, and within hours she had started improving and is now on the way to recovery. This was just through a word on the telephone. So you can see that the thousands of miles between cannot stop the protection of the Master power. However, that physical form in which the God power has manifested is also pure. Though it is not a question of praise for the physical, it is worthy of respect because God is manifested therein. I will tell you of another instance. There was a man in America named Walter Carell. When I initiated him, he had a very good experience, but after some time he fell ill. When a man is in a helpless condition, he gets restless and worried. He wrote and told me that the doctors were pressing him to eat meat and drink wine. Each time he wrote, I tried to make him understand that the non-vegetarian diet would not help him, and he should remain on a vegetarian diet. After a few months, he wrote that he could not fight anymore, that he had become helpless and could not breathe, and that the doctors were insisting on a meat diet. I replied, "All right, do whatever you feel like." When I visited America and reached Santa Barbara, the doctors had then given up hope for him, and he was at the door of death. Violet Gilbert, one of the hospital nurses, was a satsangi, and she met me and told me about Walter Kirel, who was dying in the hospital. He cries a lot and goes on saying that he has disobeyed his guru, who is now in America, but will not want to see his face. Do you think you could visit him, Master? I said, of course I will. When I arrived in his room, Nurse Gilbert told me, the Master has come. He opened his eyes and saw me, and the tears started flowing down his cheeks. I put my hand on his forehead and said, do not worry. Whatever has happened, and it is finished. Do you hear the sound? He said, no. Do you see the light? Again, he said, no. I put my hand on his head and told him to close his eyes and forget all outer things. When he did so, not only the light came, but the radiant form of the Master, too. His ears were closed for him, and he heard the sound clearly. I told him, now go, with rejoicing. His wife was there, and she was a non-initiate. She said, Master, I know that he has been forgiven and saved, but I wish he would speak to me before he goes. I again put my hand on his head and said, your wife wants you to say something to her before you go. He opened his eyes and said, all right. And turning to his wife, he smiled and said, I am going now. This is what is called protection. It is not a story, but a true incident. I feel sorry for those who get this valuable gift and do not live up to it. Nanak says, he who has not met the Satguru, whatever is written in his destiny is finished. It is true that the Master winds up the karmas, but not just like that. He adjusts them to further the man-making of the disciples. He takes the children in his charge, but he will make them into something worthwhile before taking them home. It is his duty to clean them first. Nobody packs dirty clothes away in storage. When people are initiated, they rejoice and say, we have got a Master. We have got salvation. When meeting the Satguru, you will get salvation if you obey his words. Satguru cuts the bonds of the disciple. If the disciple withdraws from wrong deeds, obey the Master. As I have said before, dirty clothes cannot be packed away in storage, and no one wants to wear dirty clothes. The Father wants to embrace you if you have got clean clothes on. But this kind of cleanliness means having no other thought but of Him. Clean the core of your heart for He who is coming. Take the thoughts of others away so that He can sit there. This is what is meant by cleanliness. At times we try to do business with the Master and say, if our wishes are fulfilled, only then we consider him a guru, otherwise not. If the Master shows love and affection, then it's all right. But if not, he is no Master. This is the sad condition we are in. A guru is a guru and will never leave you, even if you leave him. It is a wonderful protection and a great, great blessing. The volumes of praises for the Guru which are written in the Ved Shastras have not been written idly. They also state that the Guru is greater than God. In the Guru, God Himself is working, and there is no difference between the two. For example, here is my watch. That which is holding the watch is my hand. And if the watch could see and think, it would consider that it is just a hand. But who is in the hand? I. God is working through the human pole. And the pole says, I am not the doer, but he who is in me. God is working from within the guru, and they are one and the same. First, the guru works like a teacher. He shows sympathy and even allows tears to flow from his eyes for you. Sometimes he rebukes and sometimes he shows love. In fact, he does everything. Then he says, I am not the body and neither are you. Come, let us go up. He does everything to teach the disciple to break his outer attachments and concentrate within. He has no other motive. He has no desire for people's love. His own love is connected with God and his guru. There is no place for anyone else. So become receptive to him, and through receptivity, become the image of him. A child grows on milk, and to have and to love the guru and be receptive to him is the food of life to the soul. One master said that though there be 30 or more teeth in the mouth, yet the tongue is not harmed by them. Similarly, the master is protecting the disciple from all the perils of the world around him. When difficult times come, no one helps. Both enemies and friends forsake. All hopes fade away. Life becomes hopeless. But if God is in the heart, the flames of misery will not be felt. When a man gets disheartened and there seems to be no chance of hope from any direction, then the Satguru comes and takes him across all his tribulations. He first waits patiently until we remove all intellect, worries, attachments, and ego from our path. And then, when we have fully reposed ourselves in him, then we come under his complete protection. If the disciple falls, the guru will lift him up. For in this world, who is free from difficulties? One cannot find even one man without problems in his life. But if a man has a perfect master, he is fearless, even when confronted by enemies. Kabir Sahib says, "He who lives in constant remembrance of his master and keeps his master's words will be fearless in all three worlds. Why should he be afraid of anything? After all, his master is not merely a man." Understand this also. It often happens that the disciple is due for heavy suffering due to the karmic reactions from the past. But through the guru's protection, it can be reduced to perhaps a slight prick from a thorn. All the ups and downs of life are like passing phases and should have no pinching effect on the disciple. The worldly life is full of perplexities, and existence here is impossible without them. My master used to say that if one thinks one can remove all the thorns from the worldly life, well, it is an impossibility. However, if one wears strong boots, one will not feel them. To wear strong boots means to live within the protection of the master's radiation, not physically, but through thought and attention. Be so much in his radiation and never step out of it. Nothing should change this. One can be so much within the guru's radiation that even the powerful lord of death cannot come near. For example, I will tell you of one incident when I was living in Lahore. There was a lady who hailed from my village, but she was not a disciple. She became seriously ill, and her family endured constant sleepless nights in looking after her. I heard that she was sick and went to see her, accompanied by Dalip Singh, later treasurer in Sawan Ashram. I told him, "You have spent so many nights awake and must be tired, so you all sleep tonight and I will watch beside the bed." Dalip Singh and I sat together for some time. She was not initiated, but that did not matter, and I asked her, "Do you repeat any holy name?" She affirmed that she did. I told Dalip Singh to go and rest and return about 4 a.m., and I continued to sit beside the dying woman. She went on repeating the holy names as I had suggested, but suddenly she said to me, "There is an old man here." I looked up and saw the old man, and he explained to me that she was his granddaughter and that he had come to take her away. But I told him that he could not do so as long as I was sitting there. He tried his best to take the soul out of the body, but did not succeed. So after some moments, he went away. I asked the woman if she had recognized the old man, and she said, "Yes, it was my grandfather. He was a very pious man." After some time, Yama, the angel of death, appeared in the doorway. I looked straight at him, and he ran away. He could not even come enter the room. He returned several times, but could not enter. Then Dharam Raj, the lord of death himself, appeared, but he also could not come into the room. He said, "This soul belongs to me." I said, "Yes, that is true, for she has not been initiated. And I know also that you cannot come near her because I am sitting here. So you had better go to my guru and ask him what is to be done now. If he gives you permission to take this soul, then I will leave. My friends, just see how great is the Nam." Dharam Raj left and in a matter of moments returned and said, "I have got the permission to take the soul." I said, "All right, take it." He replied, "How can I when you are still sitting there? Whatever is written regarding the protection power of the holy Nam is all true, for I am telling you what actually happened." Dharam Raj said, "Unless you leave, I cannot take this soul." I asked him, "What benefit will she get from my spending the whole night beside her?" He said, "She will receive the fruit of that before any other rewards or debts are accounted." Just then Dalip Singh entered the room, and I said to him, "Come, brother, let us go away from this room, for while I am here, she cannot die." As we were leaving, I asked her husband to give away in her name some money which was still due from her to some needy people, that her give and take may be squared up and she may leave the body. Dalip Singh and I stepped out of the room, and in one moment she was gone. Dalip Singh is here. You can ask him about it. If a person who has got the Nam is sitting somewhere, not necessarily the master, but anyone who meditates, then Yama or Dharam Raj cannot come near that place. What do you people imagine the Nam to be? I am sorry to say that you hold it to be of little value. Whenever master comes, the world speaks ill of him, but God takes care of them. Whenever masters come, the world speaks ill of them, but God takes care of them. The world has always insulted the masters. For their own gain, self-centered people will say many things against them, but there is not one who can harm a single hair of a master's head if he does not wish it himself, for God's protection is impenetrable. Is it not natural that the Lord will protect him who belongs to him? A good wife gives herself up completely to her husband, who takes care of her needs and protects her. But worldly examples are poor caricatures compared to the master's protection. Even the mother, who has such deep love for her child, has a selfish thought that when he grows up, he will look after her, etc. A true guru wants nothing from his children. He only feels grateful that another soul has become free and is returning to its home. He has true love for the soul. Brother, do not think that all is in your hands. Everything is already ordained. Never think for a moment that man has anything in his control. The controlling power is doing everything. Fear, death, heat, cold, etc. would never come near him but for the reaction of the karmas, and it is not in man's control, for they come without him being able to stop them. A person may suddenly be bitten by a snake and die from it. Another will die after reaching old age. These things occur in life according to man's past karmas. When God's pen runs according to one's past karmas, man has nothing to say in it. Such name of God should be daily repeated within, O Nanak. That would free one from all bondage. Be tied to life's precious thing, which will be with you here and in the beyond. Who can connect you with the Nam? In the Guru, he himself manifests and distributes the Shabd. St. John tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. True masters have always exhorted all mankind, O man, you have got this physical form, so connect yourself with the Nam or with the manifestation of it in the human pole, which will protect you now and after death. Whosoever claims knowledge in this world is praised by the people who strive with all their might to believe in him, while the masters are proclaiming the very truth itself. Guru and God are both before me. At whose feet shall I fall? I am full of gratitude to my Guru, through whom I discovered who the Satguru is. God himself is working in the Guru, and these words are expressing the gratitude that one should have toward one's master. We cannot truly know and praise God, and neither can we know or praise the Guru. He is in the world for the sole purpose of joining the souls back to God, and it is a great privilege to meet such a personality. When you meet him, obey his commands. Make your life as he wants it to be, and this will be your own triumph. He says, do your bhajan and make your life chaste and pure. His protection will always be over your head. Keep your attention constantly on him, and you will become a true disciple of the Master. That concludes this morning's reading. We thank you, beloved Master Kripal, for your fantastic love and incredible true words, which are so beneficial and helpful.
And thank you, Jack, for reading for us. Would you tell us again what you were reading this morning?
From the book, The Night is a Jungle. Mm-hmm. The talk is entitled Protector and Protection. I read from pages 318 to 330.
Okay, thank you. We had 79 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.